first handout that I gave you about the pronoun antecedent agreement, that's just what we talked about when we mentioned to you about pronouns going back to their nearest noun. I know that's grammar's not the point of our study, but that's important because we have the Bible originally written in what languages? Greek, New Testament, Hebrew, Old Testament, two or three passages that were in Aramaic. But we have it in English, and I'm thankful for that because I don't speak Greek, I don't speak Hebrew. And so our basic rules of English apply when we study the Bible. We can't just not think about those and not think about grammar when we study the Bible. We've got to consider that because we are reading a book that's written in our tongue. And so this antecedent pronoun, noun antecedent and pronoun agreement is important because when you read a noun, all those following pronouns will refer back to that noun, and that's important when you think about who received the Holy Spirit. So I gave you this chart here, and I know I'm four or so short, so I'll make copies of that, that explain that. That's not just something I'm making up, I assure you. What's more important is this sheet that I gave y'all on the question, who received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to go through that together in our study first. I've got an assignment on there. I didn't hand this out before our study because I wanted us to go through it together. It's to read the text below, and it's just a rendering of Acts chapter 1 all the way through Acts chapter 2 and then verse 4, taken from the King James Version. Read the text below, draw a circle around the word apostles in chapter 1 verse 2, circle the personal pronouns to follow, showing that only the apostles received the Holy Spirit. Lucas, you didn't get one. So, in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles. So you need to circle apostles. That's our noun. Whom he had chosen. To whom also. Now that whom to whom would be who? Circle that. Whom. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them who? The apostles being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And folks, that's important. We talk about on Wednesday night in this quarter on things to study with it. There's never going to be a shortage of things to study with people. And so when you're studying with someone, they say, well, I just had a problem with who received the Holy Spirit. I thought we all did. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this quickly. When the New Testament talks about receiving the Holy Spirit, it is not always talking about a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And many times people in the world today think every time that the Bible mentions somebody receiving the Holy Spirit, that is a baptism of the Holy Spirit like the apostles received in Acts chapter 2, and that's not the case. Like in Acts chapter 18, when they said, we've not even heard as if there be a Holy Spirit. Remember that? They did not receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That only took place two times, and when was that? The apostles in Acts 2 and Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Mary, Peter said that they have received the Holy Spirit like as we did at the beginning. And so sometimes the Bible talks about receiving the Holy Spirit in the sense that they received gifts of the Holy Spirit, but not a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You may have seen a chart before on the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, four of them. They were saying that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, plural gifts, gift of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But nonetheless, she said, saith he, ye have heard of me, the apostles. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When you see those pronouns, say apostles. Say, if you don't want to say it out loud, that's okay. Say it to yourself. Or say it out loud, either one. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, the apostles, yeah. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And you talk about how important that is. That the Holy Spirit was promised to the apostles. The Lord didn't say that to you. The Lord didn't say that to me. The Lord didn't tell me that Donnie Oliver is going to be a witness of him beginning in Jerusalem. I've never been to Jerusalem. Have you? He's not talking to me. He's not talking to you. He's talking to the apostles. And the grammar says that part. The context shows that. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Does everyone have something to write with? I've got an extra pencil if you need it. Or there's a bag in the back. You can grab a pen. Make sure you have that and fill this out. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you, was he taken up from us? No, the apostles were present there. Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem the Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. Now you got to watch this. You got to pay attention to this. Because this is where folks, when they get to Acts chapter 2, are going to say, now it was 120 in Acts chapter 1. Well, these pronouns thus far are still applying to the apostles. They went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brethren. Don't forget that. Don't forget verse 15. But do not forget as well from verses 14 all the way backward to verse 2. The apostles was the noun and every pronoun referred to them. Other than the ones that directly referred to Christ. But all the rest of them was directly referring to the apostles. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together was about 120 men and brethren. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue a Seldom, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written, good to see you. We're on the back side of that. You're welcome. Good to see you. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric or his office let another take. Wherefore of these men have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. They appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who is surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell that he might go to his own place. There's a lost man. Verse 26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. Now watch this. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. What are you going to underscore in verse 26? He had all those pronouns to this point, all the way down from verses 2 to 14 in reference to the apostles specifically. And now you have another now, apostles, what we've been talking about. But remember, he gave some names in between. He talked about the women and so forth, the disciples, and names together were about 120. But this is our last now before we enter into chapter 2 and in verse 1. So you need to circle that. Because when you get into Acts chapter 2, verse 1, he says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they who? The apostles. How do you know that? That's the last nail. Remember, I gave this out. Pronouns have to go back, have to agree with the noun. Closest noun to find. It was the apostles, so therefore when they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they, apostles, were sitting. And there appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, verse 4. And so the question, who received the Holy Spirit? You can't miss that. It's impossible to miss that unless you just absolutely don't want to accept it. Because if someone says, now look here, no, I believe it was 120, they're going to have to bypass the apostles mentioned in Acts chapter 1, verse 26, and go all the way back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. That won't work. Yeah, on the day of Pentecost. Good job. Good. And in addition to that, in addition to having to jump back to verse 15, in addition to this being on the day of Pentecost, you've got to blatantly ignore what follows after. When the Bible says Peter stood up with the 11 and said, these men are not drunk. Why did he say 11? He was the 12th one. And he stood up pointing, in other words, to who? The 11 who? Apostles. Why didn't he say these 119? Because the 120 didn't receive the Holy Spirit. It was the apostles. I gave you see the point on this sheet, how important that is? You need that. I can give you a blank one of this if you want to put it in your folder in case you study with someone, or you take them through the Bible, let them underscore themselves in their Bibles. Probably the best way. But it's so simple to see. When you think about who received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, I gave you three reasons that we did not get to cover. So I hope that this helps nail that down.
Diane, I have a question, how you explain when it talks about the 120 there and 15. Okay, then you get on over to where they chose. Who's the they that chose? Matthias.
Could the they in that point, and when Peter says that they must have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, could that be the 120 of verse 14? I'm not saying that it's not. Maybe.
How do you explain it?
How
do you separate
that? The one thing that I would say to someone is it would do no damage to the argument that Acts chapter 2 is only talking about the apostles. Because even whether the 120 and those pronouns that go before you get to Acts chapter 2 and or 1 and in verse 26. So in other words, if you look at your sheet and you see all those pronouns beginning with verse 16. In other words, when Peter stood up and said, men and brethren, if he was talking about men and brethren, talking about all the 120, and verse 17, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry, that's a clear indication of who in verse 17. The apostles, the 120 did not obtain part of the ministry and was not numbered. He's talking about the apostles in verse 17. This man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity and so forth. And then you get to verse 21, wherefore of these men have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Who would that us more than likely be in reference to? The apostles.
But who voted?
Well, they
weren't
the apostles
because
Matthias wasn't an apostle before this time.
Yeah, that's right. But here's how I would answer that is even if you granted the argument to someone who said from verses 15 down through verse 25 that those personal pronouns referred to the 120, it still would not prove anything as far as who received the Holy Spirit, because then you've got the noun in verse 26.
So verse 2 was chosen from that number. How many men was there? I don't know.
Yeah, that's
right. 120, I believe, included.
But I want you to see this point in reference to that argument, which yes, you're going to probably have somebody bring that up. Is in Acts chapter 1. And in verse 15, the 120 were mentioned. You had those pronouns after that, all the way down through verse 25. You see the point that I'm making? That if someone says, well, how do you know that those pronouns in verses 15 through 25 do not refer to the 120? Well, even if they did, let's just say that they did for a moment. When you get to Acts chapter 2, relative to who received the Holy Spirit, what was the last pronoun that Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 has to refer back to? The apostles in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 26. So even if the argument was right, and I'm not saying it is or it's not, I'm just saying, okay, say it is, that all those personal pronouns from verses 15 to 25 refer to the 120, that still does nothing to say that the 120 received the Holy Spirit. Because in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 1, the they refers back to apostles in the last verse of Acts chapter 1. So this won't even, it won't even affect the argument of who received the Holy Spirit. It won't prove that the 120 did it all. Because you still have that noun in verse 26, apostles.
Yeah, and you've got two different instances that take place. You've got to separate them.
Right, and then the day of Pentecost. I don't know if that helps or not.
He does, did the 120 vote?
When they gave forth their lots.
Was it the whole 120 or the apostles? Who voted?
I'm not sure about that. But those that were selected out were obviously men who had accompanied with them. Yep. And those pronouns have accompanied with us all the time. It doesn't seem like the 120 would have accompanied with him the entire time, but the apostles. But I do want you to see the point that if someone were to ever try to argue with you, that, and I know this is not what you were doing, man, but I'm saying if someone ever brings up the argument that those personal pronouns from 15 to 25 have to reference the 120, therefore the they in Acts chapter 2 verse 1 refers to the 120, that's not the case. Because in verse 26, you still have the last noun being the apostles. Chris?
So I think I see it from both sides, right? But if we break it down just a little bit even more, and I'm looking at these. So let's start off at the basis of the 120. And he speaks, men and brethren. This is when Peter stood up to the 120, right?
That's right.
He spoke to the 120 plus the disciples, or the disciples that were listed as 120. Then he goes on to talk about Judas that was speaking of that. And then he was pretty much laying the foundation to start the appointing of the next apostle. Right? So at least this is the way that I'm kind of looking at it in my head too. So at that point, he's still addressing all the 120, but he's saying, out of those 120, wherefore of these men have they accompanied with us all the time? Who in this gathering has been here with us? And then he laid out from the beginning of the baptism of John to the same day that Jesus was taken up from us. He must be ordained to the witness of his resurrection. So he spoke out of those. And then at that point, I would say that 120 would have thrown in their points. And then he speaks, okay, they were numbered with the apostles. and then the apostles goes into Acts 2.
And how many out of the 120 fit the bill to qualify to be an apostle? But I want you to see that point. You can further study that, but you've got to see the point that when you get to Acts chapter 2, the only ones that are going to receive the Holy Spirit are who?
The apostles.
Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, you're going to have mentioned the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who's the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit to in Acts chapter 2, verse 38?
All that believe in
is baptized. That's right. As many as the Lord our God shall call, chapter 2, verse 39. And the context of it, as we're going to see as we go through Acts chapter 2, is salvation. It shall come to pass, as Joel prophesied, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have remission of sins. That's the gift that he's talking about, I believe. Others will say it's a personal, literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think the context teaches that at all, but. You need to keep that sheet. I gave you three reasons, and we're not going to be able to go through all these this morning, these three reasons. I gave you three reasons as to why only the apostles received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Did you write those down? You remember what they were? Obviously, you've got that sheet. If you don't use the sheet, you can just use your Bible and take someone all the way through Acts chapter 1 into Acts chapter 2 and show them that the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles. But I gave you three reasons why.
Context.
Good job.
Promise and grammar.
Good. Either got a really good memory or you wrote those down. Either way, I appreciate it. Context, grammar, and the promise, the scope of the promise. By these three reasons, we know that only the apostles received the Holy Spirit. Let's start with context. We just went through Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. Context is in reference to what?
Who's speaking?
And some of those rule like the. And the who, as Chris is saying, the who, what, right?
When, where.
When. And all that's important. Who, what, when, where, and the why. You've heard that before. But the context, I want you to see what is surrounding a particular passage. Someone once gave the example, I think it's a good example. Tomorrow, I'm going to... The word can. Think about it in our English language. The word can, C-A-N, can be used in a number of ways. I can jump a foot off the floor. Tomorrow, I'm going to can peaches. We use it in different ways. And a word, there's a rule of Bible study, a rule of any study, even outside of the Bible. A word only has meaning and significance when considered in the context in which it appears. Because you don't know how that word is being used until you observe the context surrounding that word. You get the point? Like the word suffer, which is used different ways in the Bible. The word meet, M-E-E-T. I'm going to meet somebody tomorrow. Me and Tracy are going to meet for a cup of coffee. Or if I say a help meet, you see the different way, suitable, appropriate, the way that I choose. The word suffer, I'm going to suffer eternal damnation. I suffer not a woman to speak. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Different ways in which the same word is used, but it has no significance, no meaning until it first appears in a context. And so, when you study your Bible, you've got two types of context that you need to keep in mind. What are they? Or if you're studying anything outside of the Bible, just general rules of the same rules we use often to gain information and to learn from any other book often applies to the Bible. Most often does. two types, immediate and remote. Let me explain both those. When you're talking about the immediate context, you're talking about exactly what we just did with Acts chapter 2, verse 1, in light of what came directly before that passage. You're talking about the verses before and the verses after a particular word or passage. So that's the immediate context. What do the verses before it say? What do the verses after it say? And then the remote context would be what? Well, if I've considered the immediate verses, what would the remote context be? I'm studying about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and somebody was going to say something. Maybe I'm going to consider what the book of John said about it. Maybe I'm going to consider what a book in the Old Testament said about it. And so the remote context has to deal with that which is remote from the passage you're talking about. What does the Bible say in other places? And folks oftentimes fail to do that. They fail to see what the Bible says on a given subject before they make their conclusion about it. And I urge every one of us to never make a conclusion about what the Bible says concerning a Bible topic until we have read all that the Bible says about it. If you do, you're going to miss the mark. Chances are we'll miss the mark. The context will not allow anyone but the apostles to have received the Holy Spirit. We see that in Acts chapter 1. And then when you get into Acts chapter 2, you're going to see that. Appeared unto them, cloven tongues, that we talked about. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 4. Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then you get to verse 5. And you're considering now the immediate context to who received the Holy Spirit. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Now watch this. Someone read for us verses 5 through 13. 5 through 13. We got 2 minutes.
Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered, because there were each one hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine."
16. Did a good job of those names, Chris. Appreciate that. Good job. 16 places that are mentioned in this passage. In verse 5, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And we've talked about why so many were gathered together in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Takes our minds back to Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 16:16. So here they were, all these men gathered together in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak. In what? In his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" Now, someone brought up last week or the week before, I can't remember now, what if someone makes the argument, not that the 120 of Acts chapter 1 received the Holy Spirit, not that just the apostles received the Holy Spirit, but what about if someone brings up the argument that everybody on the day of Pentecost that was in Jerusalem received the Holy Spirit? Well, this knocks that in the head. Because here these men stand up, devout Jews out of every nation under heaven, and say, "Are not all these men which speak Galileans?" Those present were not all, they were not Galileans. He gives us the nationality of them, but the apostles were Galileans. I give you the references, and then we have to close. Our time's gone. Matthew 4:18. Here's four passages which show forth that the apostles of Galileans, and they talk about that. Matthew 4:18, Mark 14:70, Acts 1:11, and then here mentioned Acts 2 and then verse 7. So Matthew 4:18, Mark 14:70, Acts 1:11, Acts 2 and then verse 7. Peter stands up with the 11 and says, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, saying it is but the third hour of the day." So the context, the immediate context, and I'll say this, and we'll have to pick up here next week, the remote context will not allow, because all the references that talk about who it was promised to was to who? The apostles, John 14, 15, 16, and Matthew chapter 3. So the remote context will not allow us. We'll pick up there next week with the remote context, and we'll talk about the grammar and the promise, so forth. I appreciate your good attention, your participation, and your many good comments.